Amen. Aren't you glad for the blood of Jesus Christ? Let's take our Bibles and turn to Numbers chapter number 22. And I don't know about you all, but I like being in church. I like listening to the singing. I like spending time with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. I just like being here. And I like to smile. I like to just have a good time. And it's always exciting for me when I think I'm at the chance to preach. But I think I figured something out today, and that is that Miss Tanya never texts me, or Pastor never texts me until the afternoon. And I'd never quite figured out why that was, but I figured out, Brother Kelly, here's what the reason is. If they announce that I'm preaching in the morning, no one would be here tonight, except for maybe some of the teenagers and maybe some of their parents. But since they don't announce it, you all don't know who's going to preach, and it's kind of like a fun thing, like a raffle. So appreciate you coming here tonight, and I'm glad I get a chance to preach. And so Numbers chapter 22, it is an honor to preach the Word of God. I've been preaching since, I called to preach when I was in 10th grade, had the chance to preach when I was a teenager. A few times I had a chance to preach in children's church and then all through Bible college. And I'll tell you, I still get nervous every time I get a chance to preach. And I'm thankful for that because it reminds me that, number one, I'm holding the Word of God in my hands. Number two, I could say something that could harm somebody for a long time. And number two, it makes you realize that God could say something through me tonight that could make a difference in someone's life for eternity. And so I'm thankful for this privilege. I want to speak to you tonight about something we all have to deal with. Now, we live in Dallas-Fort Worth. And if you have ever been on 35, you have had to deal with this issue before. And it's not traffic. Last Monday night, our church, of course, has a volleyball team. And we were driving back from a volleyball game, and I was on the phone talking to I was talking to somebody, maybe it was 2 weeks ago. And all of a sudden, I realized I saw the sign in front of me. And as soon as I saw the orange sign, I knew I was in trouble because I missed the exit. The orange sign said on it, detour. Detour. I don't know about you, but in life, detours aren't always very much fun, are they? The detour on 35, the problem was, it wasn't the detour that went up to Beach Street and came back around. It was a detour that went all the way to 377. And up 377, by the time I got up 377, out around the Target area, Home Depot area, Kohl's area, I was further away from my house at that point than I would have been if I would have just gone a different way home when I left. But here's the problem. I wasn't expecting the detour. I wasn't ready for the detour. And the detour totally threw me off. Do you know life's going to send some detours your way? Either you face a detour this week, you're facing a detour today, or you'll face a detour later this next week. Because that's just life. The problem is sometimes detours are our faults. Sometimes we face detours because we made a wrong turn or we made a bad decision. But you know, many times detours in life happen because God's trying to move us and God's trying to shape our lives or God's trying to just get us to do something we wouldn't usually do normally. Numbers chapter 22, let me give you a little background here. Of course, the book of Numbers, we have Moses leading the children of Israel. They come out of Egypt. Aaron dies just a few chapters before this here in Numbers chapter 22. In Numbers chapter 21, the Israelites defeat the Canaanites. After they defeat the Canaanites, the fiery serpents are sent down from God. You remember the story? They hold up a brazen cross and they look and live. That's a story that happened just before that. Then the Amorites and King Sihon. So they sent spies. Israel sent spies and they said, we want to come through your land to get where we're going. We won't eat of your land. We won't drink of your water. We just want to get through. And King Og said, no, it's not going to happen. And so the Israelites ended up having to destroy them and take their land. The chapter before, we have Og, the king of Bashan. Now they come to a place called Moab. And they go to Moab, and everyone's scared of Israel. Not because Israel is just this mighty power, because the God of Israel is a mighty God. And they know that with Israel, there's something different about fighting Israel. And so in Numbers chapter 22, the king of Moab, his name is Balak. Balak has an idea, and Balak wants to not be defeated by Israel. So Numbers chapter 22, and verse number 1, the Bible says, and the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on the side of Jordan by Jericho. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was sore afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said to the elders of Midian, now shall this company lick up all that are round about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field? And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. He sent messengers, therefore, unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and they may drive them out of the land, for I wot not I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou curstest is cursed. Now, let's make sure we follow the story, okay? There's a king named Balak. Balak goes to the man who's considered to be the prophet. And by the way, this man is a prophet of the one true God. He talks to God. It's an interesting story following some of these Old Testament prophets, but Balak wasn't part of Israel. Balaam wasn't part of Israel. Balaam was a prophet. And so Balak sends the prophet, and he says, look, here's what we need you to do. We're facing the children of Israel, and I need you to curse them. Because if you bless someone, they're going to be blessed. And if you curse them, they're going to be cursed. Now, that's a nice thing to do. Go to the man of God and say, just curse them. But Balaam has a response. Balaam has a choice to make. Look at verse number 7. And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand. And they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. And he said to them, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. And God came unto Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? So this is God speaking to Balaam the prophet. And Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent them unto me, saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overthrow them and shall drive them out. And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said to the princes of Balak, get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. And the princes of Moab arose up, and they went into Balak and said, Balaam refuseth to come with us. Now, if the story stopped there, it would all make sense to us. Simple. So we'll go back and make sure we understand what's happening. Okay, so Balak says, Balaam, will you curse the children of Israel? Balaam, the prophet, says, I'll go to God and ask God what he wants to do. Of course, God's not going to curse the children of Israel. We know that. So Balaam prays, and God says, I will not do this. They are blessed people. You tell them no. We know the story, right? So he says to the men, no, we're not going to do it. I will not bless them. Go back to where you came from. Now, if the story stopped there, we'd all say, good job, Balaam. But Balaam's about ready to get something in his life that when all of us face it, it is a real temptation to give in. Verse number 12. And God said to Balaam, thou shalt not go with them, thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And Balaam rose up in the morning and sent the princes, verse number 14. And the princes of Moab rose up and went unto Balak and said, Balaam refuses to come with us. And Balak sent yet again princes, more and more honorable than they. So the first time he sent princes, and these were important men, but now Balak realizes, okay, if I can't entice him with who I sent first time, I'm going to send more important people and guys who are more noble than the first guys. But look what they did. And they came to Balaam, verse 16, and said to him, thus saith Balak, the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me, for I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. Balaam's about to be given an opportunity to become the man, to become more powerful, and to get whatever he wants. God's already told Balaam, Balaam, this is not what I want you to do. You're not to curse the people. But you know the problem for all of us? It seems like in life, we can get detoured very easily when prosperity, when we begin to face it. I remember I was working in college. I sold mattresses through college. That's what got me paid my bill. We delivered mattresses. I worked in the warehouse and ended up being a manager. It was a really neat way God used that in my life and to deal with people, to learn how to speak to people. And I remember my junior, senior year just really having a struggle because I'd say things like this, well, that's the best deal we can give you. But I knew in my heart if he didn't like that, I'd give him a better deal. And maybe some of you all have been salesmen and you can recognize that dilemma because our book wasn't like, this is all you're allowed to go. This is just what you're supposed to go. And if that doesn't work, then go lower. If that doesn't work, go lower until they buy a mattress. And it began to smite my heart because what I was doing was I was not telling the whole truth. I had guile in my life. And I remember a guy working in my heart. And I remember thinking sometimes, if I do what's right, I'm not going to get this sale. Now, maybe you're a lot more spiritual than I am, but as a college student and thinking I might get $100 or I won't get $100, there was times in my life where there was difficulty thinking, you know, it's just a little white lie. It won't make that big a deal. Maybe you've been there before selling something, or you know there's a big opportunity to get a promotion if you'll just kind of cut around the corners a little bit and not do things exactly right. See, Balaam faced exactly what we face. He faced the opportunity to be prosperous, the opportunity to better himself, the opportunity to become something. And when Balaam did, Balaam's about to go on a detour. And tonight, I want to preach you this thought, finding direction in the detours of life. finding direction in the detours of life. May we pray together? Father, I thank you, Lord, for the privilege of your word. Thank you so much, Lord, that you've given us a word of God that's quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. I pray, Lord, tonight, Lord, that it would not be me speaking, but Lord, I pray you'd speak through me. Lord, this is a fantastic passage as we look at the man of God, Lord, here in this passage, and we see, Father, Lord, how you detoured his life, trying to get his attention. I pray, Lord, tonight, that every one of us, Lord, could take heed the word of God. And I pray, Lord, that maybe someone tonight, Lord, who's facing a detour, Lord, may they, after this message, Lord, get better understanding of how to handle it. And I pray, Lord, for all of us that we would take counsel, Lord, and most more than anything, when we leave here tonight, Lord, may we recognize, Lord, that through all detours in life, you have a purpose. Lord, may we know that purpose by the time we're finished this message, I pray. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to preach again. Fill me with your spirit, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Balaam faces a difficult situation. Here's what happens in verse number 18. Balaam has a good answer. And Balaam answered and said to the servants of Balak, "If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or do more." Verse 19. "Now therefore I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more." And God sent to Balaam and Nai and said unto him, "If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do." And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. Now, verse 20, God gives Balaam some insight. Here's what God says to him. If the men come and get you early, then go with them. That's pretty simple. But look at Balaam's response in verse number 21. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. What's missing? They didn't come to him, did they? See, the interesting thing is Balaam had followed God and done the right thing, but now prosperity's there. An opportunity to become something is there. And I don't know that Balaam was necessarily totally wrong. We might not think that, but God's about to show us how angry God is with his decision. Because the opportunity for prosperity, the opportunity to get himself a little bit ahead is in Balaam's mind. And the reason why he woke up the night before, early in the morning, he's probably thought about it all night long. And the next morning he woke up and he went with the men. And look at God's response in verse number 22. And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned out of the way and went into the field, and Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. Now, this is a verse that you may read and think, what does this really have to do with anything? See, here's the interesting thing. Balaam has disobeyed God. God told Balaam, do not go unless, and Balaam chose his own way. Balaam is about to go, and he's about to go to a place called Moab, and he's about to go with the king that's about to be destroyed. And God lovingly, on his way, sends a detour. The interesting thing is something that you and I often notice, is that sometimes in life, when God's trying to stop us, or God's trying to put circumstance in our life to say no, we can't see it. We can't see it. See, we appreciate detour signs. If there's a detour sign, I know my trip home is going to be messed up. I'm not going to go the way I usually go. But see, in this time in his life, there was no detour sign. All that he could see was, we're not going where we're supposed to be going. I have a direction, and I'm heading somewhere, and now I'm not heading that direction. And you can imagine what Balaam was. Balaam was upset. Now, the funny thing for me, this entire story, is thinking about this from the perspective of the donkey. The donkey's drawing down a driveway. Let's imagine, okay? If an angel of the Lord stands there and has a sword in his hand, what would you do? You turn, right? The donkey does exactly what the donkey's supposed to do. But the problem is Balaam can't see it. And I want to give you just a few points as we walk through this tonight, and things I hope that will help you in your personal life as you face detour. Here we go. Number one, we must recognize that God is as much in the detours as he is in the directions. We must recognize that God is as much in the detours as he is in the direction. See, God had told Balaam what he was supposed to do, and he didn't obey. But now God is standing there as the angel of the Lord with the sword, and he's detouring Balaam's life because he's bringing Balaam somewhere. And it doesn't make sense quite yet what God's doing, but we're going to find out. But see, God is as much in the detour. See, God is a loving God who doesn't just let us make a bad decision and say, fall on your face. God's a loving God who, even when we make poor choices, even when we do things we shouldn't do, God is a loving God who brings us back to himself. And God's a loving God who pursues us. I think about what God often says in Scripture, how much he would work with Israel if they just turned to him. He said at one point, "How often I have gathered you as a hen gathered chickens, but you would not." In other words, I wanted to love you. I wanted to take care of you, but you wouldn't do it. But God's also a gentleman, and God never goes against our will. God gave us a free will, and Balaam had a choice here. But even when Balaam was making a conscious choice to do the wrong thing, God in his love, as angry as God was at his sin, God still was trying to detour his life. So we pick up the story in verse number 23. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside of the way and went to the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn in this way. But the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm riding on a donkey and I'm going through the middle of a field and all of a sudden the donkey jerks in throwing the wall and my leg gets smashed, I'm probably not going to respond the best way. I don't know what you might say or what you might do, but every one of us, at the very least, are hurt that our foot is, and we're mad at the donkey for it, right? But see, in this passage, we see that God started, there's a way that he's going, and God says, "I don't want you to go this direction." But you notice God's kind of narrowing down Balaam's path. He sends him in a vineyard, and he's between two walls. And here's the same thing again. Balaam doesn't see there's an angel Lord with a sword there, and he's going to kill Balaam if he comes that way. And the donkey trying to protect Balaam, the donkey does what the donkey can do. Very quickly, he throws himself in, he smashes the donkey's foot. Verse number 26. And the angel Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. I wrote down this in my notes. We must understand that God sometimes allows us a little discomfort in order to stop us from being greatly hurt later on. God sometimes allows just a little discomfort in our lives because he sees that if we keep on going the path we're heading, there's great hurt facing us. See, his foot was a bad deal. He didn't like that. But it was a lot better than him dying that day, wasn't it? See, sometimes in our life, God allows detours. And in our life, as we're in the detour because of our own doing, sometimes we get hurt. And we point our finger at God and we say, "God, why did this happen?" When we should start thinking about ourselves, why am I on this detour in the first place? Is it my own doing? And sometimes, oftentimes it is. And sometimes it's not. But no matter what, you know, sometimes in life there are financial difficulties. Sometimes in life there is sickness. Sometimes in life there are relational problems. Sometimes in life, God allows things in our life, but I want to remind you about this. The entire time, God is not doing this to hurt Balaam. God is doing this because he's trying to get Balaam's attention. And he's trying to get Balaam to an exact place where Balaam's going to get to. Sometimes in life, God allows little discomforts in order to stop us from being greatly hurt. Verse number 27. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with the staff. Now, this is just funny to me, okay? In the story of a donkey. The donkey's riding along. The donkey first goes in the middle of the field for no apparent reason. Balaam's mad. The donkey decides to throw Balaam into the wall and crush Balaam's foot. Balaam's getting even more angry. Imagine Balaam's going through the middle of the field, and all of a sudden the donkey just goes flat on the ground. And Balaam, I just can't imagine here, Balaam gets his staff out, and Balaam's about ready to whoop the donkey. It's just, I mean, I just wish I could picture this. Don't you kind of wish that there was a Bible story written about this we could show this to our children? Like, I just see Balaam out there just getting ready to be the donkey. And then something in verse number 28 is about to happen that's really interesting. If it wasn't in Scripture and you told me it happened, I wouldn't believe you. But verse number 28 records it, and I think it's a really good opportunity for God to show us something. By the way, sometimes we must understand that God is going to stop us directly in our tracks. See, God tried detouring him. God tried sending a little bit of discomfort that way, but now God recognizes that he's going to have to stop Balaam right in his tracks. I don't know about you, but there's been times in my life where I've been stopped in my tracks, and I've never enjoyed one of them. I've never enjoyed when I end up on the ground and it doesn't make any sense. I've never enjoyed when things don't make sense or there's difficulties in my family or there's sickness or the illness and I have nowhere to go. And you know what we constantly have a habit to do? We get angry at whatever's close to us. And Balaam's about to turn and he's about to beat his donkey. Verse number 28. And all of a sudden, right when he has his staff out, and the Lord opened the mouth of the ass. And she said to Balaam, "What have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times. Now, that right there would get my attention. If I'm riding a donkey and all of a sudden I'm going to beat the donkey, and the donkey looks at me and said, what did I do to you? I mean, that would get my attention right there, wouldn't it? But the funny thing is a conversation ensues here. Verse number 29, and Balaam said to the ass, because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill thee. Now it's getting even more serious. He says, you're scared about a staff. If there was a sword in my hand, you'd be dead right now, donkey. Now, it's all funny until we put ourselves in the story. Because, see, what we don't know is that there's an angel of the Lord standing just in front of me with a sword about to kill me. Yet there's a donkey, there's a messenger trying to say, hey, this isn't going to work. I'm trying to stop. I'm trying to do everything I possibly can. I have nowhere else to go. I'm going to lay on the ground. And see, sometimes in life we get a detour. But may I tell you that when God stops in our track, that's not enough to get us where we need to be. Because now he's stopped. He can't go anywhere. But he's still angry. He still wants to beat the messenger. He still wants to take care of this. And he's tired of everything. And a donkey starts talking to him. And here's what I want to say to everybody tonight. And this is for me. Please don't think as a pastor I'm saying this as a pastor. I'm saying this as a Christian, as a church member. In my life, we all need people who will say to us what needs to be said, especially when we do not want to hear it. We all need people in our life who are willing to say to us what needs to be said, not just sometimes, but especially when we don't want to hear it. I know those people. I know those people who I'm going to call. For instance, I grew up at Emmanuel Baptist Temple in Hagerstown, Maryland. My pastor is Dr. Ed Hampton. Pastor Hampton's still alive. I love Pastor Hampton with all my heart. If the man called me today and said, I need you to come to my house and do something, I would find a way to buy a plane ticket. I just love the man. He's in his 80s. He is my spiritual father. And I love Pastor Hampton. But when I call Pastor Hampton, it's not like sometimes if I talk to teenagers and say, do you like this? Is this a good idea? The teenager's going to say, sure, Brother Jesse, I love it. Some of you all, we've grown really close the last 4.5 years. And if I asked you advice, you would be as kind and as nice to me as you possibly could. Pastor Hampton wants to be nice to me, but guess what? He's not going to tell me what I want to hear. He's going to look me in the face if I'm there. And if not, his wife, you can ask my wife, his wife will be so hard on me when we go home. She'll say all kinds of stuff to me. And I know she does it lovingly, but she can say stuff that my mom would like. I wouldn't let my mom say to me without saying, Mom, why would you say that? But this is Miss Hampton. I just say, yes, ma'am. Okay, yes, ma'am. You're right. Yes, ma'am. My wife and I, we often, not really joke, but if I ever came home and I saw Pastor Hampton's truck in my driveway, I would know that there's a problem in our home and he's there to help fix it. Because my wife knows that he's a man in my life who's going to tell me how it is. Now, every one of us has people like that in our life. And I'm thankful there's more than one person like that in my life. But the interesting thing is, Balaam's donkey is not afraid to turn and say to him, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? And let's pick our reading up in verse number 30. I like the question Balaam's donkey says. And the ass said to Balaam, am not I thine ass, upon whom thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, nay. Now I like the donkey kind of, it not really gets an attitude, but I kind of like the donkey starts questioning Balaam. And Balaam's all of a sudden kind of retracting a little bit, thinking, no, that wasn't, you're right. You've never done me wrong. In verse 31, then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way and his sword drawn in his hand. Can you imagine being there? You're fighting with a donkey. You have your staff ready to beat a donkey. The donkey turns and starts talking to you. I mean, this is an interesting story. Now you say to the donkey, look, you're lucky because if I had a sword, you'd be dead right now. And the donkey says to you, what have I ever done to you? I mean, every time you asked me to go somewhere, I did exactly what you told me to do. And then all of a sudden, can you just imagine that moment when your eyes are opened? And you peek ahead and you see just a few feet away from you that there's destruction, there's death right there. That someone or something in your life is going to destroy you, but you had this donkey who cared enough about you to get down the ground and say, you don't want to do this. I may have to run the field and you don't understand. I may have to detour your life. I may have to hurt you. You may have to go through some difficult times. You may have to go through some sickness. There may be illness. There may be some things you don't like. There may be some financial troubles. And you don't understand why it is. And then all of a sudden, finally, everything falls out and you're on your face and you don't know what to do. And you're angry and you're upset and all of a sudden your eyes are open. And the thing is this. What would have happened if Balaam would have seen the angel in the very beginning of the story? Well, he probably would have gone back inside the house. He probably would have said, this is a bad idea. But I want you to know that God doesn't overstep our will. If you want to do something, if you want to choose to sin, if you want to choose to do something you know you shouldn't do, if you want to choose to step away from God's will, God's not going to keep you from doing that. But as a loving God, He is going to all along the way try to stop you and try to get you back to where you're supposed to be. See, this story isn't about Balak the king who's trying to hurt Israel. This story is not about Balaam the prophet who's trying to run away and try to become rich and try to become famous. This story is not even about a donkey, as interesting as it is that he's a talking donkey. The story is all about verse number 31. End of the verse. And his sword drawn in his hand, and he, that's Balaam, bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. Do you know why someone lays flat on their face? I don't lay flat on my face very often. If I lay flat on my face, I have either been hurt very badly and I just want to lay there for a minute, or there is just no strength in me and I have nothing else to do. See, the God of Balaam, this entire time, is working in Balaam's life because he could stop Balaam anytime he wants to. He's God. He could open his eyes anytime he wanted to, but see, he's detouring his life, and through the detour, he's trying to give him some direction. And finally, Balaam's upset, Balaam's angry, Balaam's ready to kill the donkey, and all of a sudden, God shows him the angel of the Lord, and Balaam's exactly where God wants him, on his face. See, when we're on our face, the only place we can do on that time is to worship. The only thing we can do when we're on our face is realize, I'm nothing, I have no strength in me. And we look to God and say, God, you have my attention. See, the detours in life, when people come to my office and talk to me about difficulties in their family or difficulties in their home or difficulties at school, or when I go through difficulties in my own life, I wish I knew the answer for them. But the thing is, sometimes detours are our own fault. Sometimes they're not. But in every detour, I promise you this, God has a purpose and a plan in the detour. There's some of you all have gotten some really bad news in the past month, in the past week. There's some of you all in this room who are dealing with heartache, and you can sit in church like I can sometimes and smile and act like everything's okay when the world is crumbling around you. And you feel like, I just don't know what to do. May I tell you that God is in your life trying to get you to this place, that you just get down on your face and you just allow the Lord to be God. See, my message is called Finding Direction, the Detours. But see, the detours are only trying to get us to a place where we're ready to accept the direction. Balaam could have had direction anytime he wanted to, but he had to get to the place where he was ready to receive it. And I know in my life, pride is one of the main things in all of our lives that can keep us from accepting responsibility, can keep us from getting to where God wants us, because we want to figure it out, and I want to figure this thing out, and I get mad at everyone who's in my way. See, the Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. See, when someone says to you, oh, look, it's not your fault. Oh, so you did that, no big deal. Everything's going to be okay. That's not helping you. When you have a pastor who opens the Word of God, you have a Sunday school teacher who loves you enough, or you have a mom and dad, or you have a husband or a wife who loves you enough to say, that's a bad idea, it's going to hurt your life. That person is a friend. In this story, the donkey's a friend. It's pretty interesting to me. The sad thing about this story is that the advice didn't necessarily work. See, I wrote down very last my notes here. We all need people who can see where we are blind. We all need people to see where we are blind. I wish I could have brought it with me. I just didn't have time to print enough of them. But the teenagers, we did an illustration a couple years ago at camp. And it's a cross and a circle. I don't know if you've ever done this before. If you cover up your right eye and use your left eye, look across and see the circle, and you bring that paper in, there's a certain place for all of us where we will face a blind spot. I hate driving in sometimes a truck or a big vehicle because your blind spot's larger. All of us understand what a blind spot is, but do you know in your life you have a blind spot and maybe more than one? See, Balaam had a blind spot. Balaam's blind spot was he didn't recognize that pride was going to keep him from doing what he was supposed to do. And by the way, Balaam's blind spot is even pointed out to him. The sad thing is this, even when Balaam realizes his blind spot, it doesn't change his mind. In your life, it may be a spouse, it may be a friend, it may be a Sunday school teacher, it may be your pastor. I don't know who it will be for you, but there are people in your life who on occasion you should go to and say to them, will you please help me understand where my blind spots are? Will you please help me to see what I don't see, that maybe in my life is there and no, and I don't see it, but it's affecting me. I know often my parents will talk to me and they'll say things like, hey, how was your family time? What have you done with your family recently? You know what they're saying to me? Say, Jesse, I know you stay busy and things, but I don't want you to miss that your kids are more important than all those other things. See, that can be a blind spot when you get busy and you get life going. Some of us, our blind spot might be anger, or our blind spot might be bitterness, or our blind spot might be just our personality, or our blind spot might be lust. Whatever your blind spot is, there's people in your life who would like to help you point a blind spot. But may I tell you what it takes in order for someone to point a blind spot out? It doesn't necessarily require you getting on your face, but it does require you humbling yourself. So this entire story is about a man who just wants to get to Moab, because if he can get to Moab, he can be rich and he can have everything he possibly wants to have. And in his life, God doesn't just destroy his life. God says, there's a detour going on, and I want you to recognize that I'm trying to get your attention. If you follow the New Testament, so we won't have time to go there tonight, but the book of Jude and the book of 1 Peter both talk about the way of Balaam. Jude chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, verse 11, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and have ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 15, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam. Revelation chapter 2, verse 14, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel. See, the sad thing about this story is we read it and everything goes well and Balaam gets up off his face. Verse number 32, and the angel of the Lord said to them, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now I had slain thee and saved her alive. And Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, it displeased thee, I will get me back again. And the angel of the Lord said to Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that thou shalt speak. So Balaam went with the prince of Balaam. If the story stopped there, we'd all say, everything's okay. Got on his face. He got right. He apologized. He asked for forgiveness of his sins. The problem is, a couple chapters later, Balaam is killed by Israel. His head is cut off. 24,000 people in Israel all killed. You know the reason why? Because Balaam went to Balak and told Balak how to conquer Israel. He went and said to them, if you'll put immorality, if your people, the Moabites, will intermarry with the Israelites, you'll get Israel. And they did. Last thing I want to say to you is this. Our decisions drastically affect other people. Our decisions drastically affect other people. You know, the sad thing is, when you're young, I know teenagers, we joke sometimes. I pick with them. I'm the youth pastor. I'm allowed to do that, I think. I pick with them and say, your life is really difficult. You have so much responsibility. I mean, you're working 5 hours a week, and it can get difficult. And I don't mean to make light of that. I appreciate teenagers who work hard. But as you get older, you recognize there's more responsibility. When you get married, it's almost like, wow, I'm responsible for my wife. I'm responsible for a home. And then you have children. I was just this afternoon, my daughter and my sons, we were around the house just having fun. And I'm just thinking in my heart, my decision today affects my kids tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. See, Balaam missed it. God did everything he could possibly do by detouring Balaam's life. Balaam even got down and made this false, I'm so sorry, God, I didn't mean to do that. But guess what Balaam did? Balaam still did exactly what Balaam wanted to do. The sad thing is this, in the detours of life, if we don't find direction, we'll find disaster. If we don't find direction in the detours, we'll find disaster. I don't know who you are tonight and who this message is for. I know it's for me. But maybe tonight God's allowing a detour in your life. Maybe it's of your own doing, and maybe you just don't understand why. May I tell you what God's trying to do for all of us? He's just trying to get us to a place where we're willing to get down and say, God, what are you trying to do in my life? And if you'll get to the place where you can get down on your face and you can get rid of pride and just say, God, would you please try to teach me? May I tell you that the detours in life can be the greatest teachers. But if we won't follow the detour, disaster's ahead. And if you are an adult or if you're a teenager and you have any influence at all, may I just remind you that when you face disaster, when you face difficulty, it affects more than just you. May God help us as men and women of God to stand for God in the detours of life, to not crumble under the pressure, but to seek God for direction and allow God to use the detour to mold us and not to end us. Lord, I thank you so much for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to preach this evening. Lord, I pray in my own life, Lord, I know I face detours. I pray, Lord, that you'd help me, Lord, to be the man of God that I should be, Lord. Help me in every detour of life, Lord, to see your hand in it. Lord, I pray for men and women here tonight, boys and girls, teenagers. Lord, I pray that you would speak to hearts. And Lord, I pray that you'd make us moldable, Lord, so that in the detours of life, Lord, you can give us direction that we wouldn't face disaster. I pray you bless this invitation. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand.